So let's begin with a look at the numbers. The positive cases, COVID-19 cases, keep rising a lot. Now more than 33,000 cases in North Carolina. Lots more testing happening, and officials keep saying the percent positive is relatively stable. But with ongoing mass gatherings like protests, one has to start wondering.
Right? We had a record number of positives yesterday. You could make the argument, now I haven't looked at like breaking down, you know, on the map where they were, but you could make the argument that there were some mass events over the Memorial Day weekend. And this is about the time where people are going to start like getting sick enough that they're going to be seeking out testing.
Another number that is up, people in the hospital.
Yeah, no, we're at 717. I think that's an all-time high. If it's not an all-time high, it's pretty darn close. I think the prior high was 716. So we're at an all-time high. Now, I did talk to the folks today at UNC, and they were saying, you know, they're back more at the kind of full in their ICU that they were prior. However, they do have some COVID beds that are left empty that they're keeping empty in order to be able to accommodate any surge. So, you know, that's also an issue, is we'll be watching what happens to hospital beds as these bump ups progress to the point where maybe you end up with folks who end up in the hospital.
So speaking of hospitals, you actually spent some time in the ICU at UNC Hospitals in Chapel Hill for a piece you're working on about how COVID-19 is impacting patient care. Can you give us a preview? What did you see?
You know, it's small things, from like a bunch of the nurses are wearing these headbands that have big buttons sewn onto them. And so their face masks hook onto those buttons rather than onto their ears, because it was bothering their ears to wear face masks for 10, 12 hours a day. So small things, but large things about separating infected patients versus uninfected patients. So in order to divide the hot zone from the non-hot zone, they have these places where you're supposed to walk or not walk. I mean, it was just fascinating the way that they had to rearrange care.
We're looking forward to hearing what else you found in your piece next week. Now we're going to circle back to Thursday's coronavirus task force briefing. And one of the numbers that has triggered action by Governor Roy Cooper is the disproportionate number of COVID-19 cases among communities of color. And Governor Cooper used that number as one of the platforms to announce a new task force.
Right, right. So African Americans make up about 20, you know, give or take percent of the people in the state, but they make up 28% of the people who have been diagnosed, and they make up 34% of the people who've died. Why have African Americans been so affected by COVID? And, you know, you could look at things like access to care. Like, my golly, you know, we've all heard of the Tuskegee Airmen study where, you know, government physicians allowed men who were African-American who had syphilis to continue having syphilis so they could study them for decades. I mean, like, the distrust of the healthcare system goes back really far, right? So there's that. There's the whole, like, physiologic process. You know, we've seen it. We've seen it this week. We've seen it over the past couple of years with, you know, George Floyd and all the other African-American men and women who've been killed by police, and the kind of stress that this engenders in the African-American community, long-term stress. You know, there's lots of research out there now about cortisol levels, how, you know, cortisol is a stress hormone in your body, and how having that increased for such a long time can predispose you to illness. So there's just a lot of things that are there that are really going to take a lot of unwinding in our society until we get to a place where we're more equitable. The governor came out yesterday and he announced the formation of a task force to look at many of the disparities that exist in our state for communities of color. And they're going to be looking at a multitude of areas, everything from healthcare, obviously, to education, business development, employment. environmental justice, which I thought is interesting. There's plenty of research showing that working poor folks of color live closer to places that have less good environmental track records, let's put it that way. So, you know, he said that this task force, which will be led by Michelle Sanders, who's the Secretary of the State Department of Administration, they'll be looking at this whole issue and seeing what, as a state, they can do in terms of policy. You know, you and I were talking off mic about the fact that, like, this is really nice. The governor says that this has been under construction for a while. But the reality is that, you know, it's a task force. It is like the very first step before you get policy, before you get policy implementation, before you move the needle at all. You know, moving the needle is, could be years down the road in a process like this. You know, we were talking about the Child Fatality Task Force, which was formed, golly, almost 30 years ago. And, you know, they've done great things. Like, they've helped to address North Carolina's woeful infant mortality rate. The Child Fatality Task Force was formed because we had the absolute worst infant mortality rate in the country. And now we rank around 40th. Woohoo! So, you know, like, now that's, I mean, I don't mean to be flip about it, but that's 3 decades of work to still have a huge disparity between Black and white infant mortality, a big disparity between Black and white maternal mortality. You know, so these processes take a long time, and they have to have buy-in from everyone. And, you know, so this is just the very beginning.
And a story will definitely continue to follow. So your crew has been so busy. What's on tap for next week?
Let me see. We have so much. Well, I talked about, you know, my ICU story, talked about the fact that we have a couple of reporters looking at what are the things that lead African Americans to be sicker. We ran a story today on, you know, if someone with COVID is handling your food, like, is it safe to eat? And I think the answer, just, we did a big flesh out of it, but the answer is proper food handling, right? Like, wash the vegetables, cook the meat to the proper temperature, and you're fine. But, you know, that's the short answer. But we've got, you know, we dug into UV light and bleach and, you know, farmers who are sick. And so we dug into a bunch in that story.